Pope Francis was recently at Loreto, where the Holy House is lodged inside of the Basilica there. And on camera, he was seen pulling his hand away from all of the lay people who were attempting to kiss his ring. Let's take a look at that clip real quick. All right, there's the first one. Took his hand away. This lady comes in. Nope, she doesn't get it. This lady, nope, pulled it back. This one, no, pulled it out pretty strong. This lady, she gets closest, but nope. This guy, sorry. This lady, she comes in, even though her husband tried, she didn't go for it. Nope, sorry. He, nope. Nope, pulled away. Nope. That one's really pulled away. Yeah, he kind of swats her away. Yeah, get out of here. Another one. Just no one's getting a chance. No one. They're all going for the papal ring. Okay, so what's going on here? Why are people trying to kiss the Pope's ring? Some people on social media said, yeah, I mean, it's his hand. He has the right for people not to kiss his hand. In fact, that's kind of gross. Well, this goes back to a very ancient tradition to which was attached an indulgence. And before I get into the indulgence of kissing the Pope's ring or a bishop's ring, I want to just mention the general Catholic practice, even the Eastern Orthodox have it, and that is of kissing a priest's hand. Why is that? Well, we Catholics believe that when the priest holds bread or a chalice full of wine and says, "This is my body," or "This is the chalice of my blood," it transubstantiates into the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. That means that his hands are sacred, and we see this in the traditional rite of ordination for a priest. His hands are anointed with sacred chrism. Not a deacon, not a lay Eucharistic minister of Holy Communion, not an acolyte, just the priest. His hands are sacred. So to show our devotion to the miracle of transubstantiation, to the presence of Christ in our midst, often it is customary when you meet a priest for the first time and you go to shake his hand, he would offer it to you, or you can just very casually bring it up, very chill, and give it a little kiss on the back of the hand and then have a normal conversation. I did it this past Sunday. We had a new priest visiting our parish. I introduced myself to him. He offered me his hand to shake it. I gave it a quick little kiss, and we had a normal conversation there, just drinking coffee and talking about our faith. It's totally normal. Once this happened to me, what you saw with Pope Francis happened to me once in St. Mary Major. I was there many years ago. A cardinal introduced me to another cardinal. So I wasn't just going up randomly to a cardinal. And I shook his hand and I went to kiss his ring and he pulled it back really hard. And I just felt like an idiot. I felt like a tool. And I can see that on the faces of the people who are greeting Pope Francis and trying to kiss his ring. It's not being humble. It's not being merciful. These people are trying to show reverence not to Jorge Bergoglio, not even to Pope Francis as a person, but to the ring of the fisherman. They're showing their veneration to the Prince of the Apostles, Saint Peter, our first pope, and by extension, to Jesus Christ, who is the head and the king of the church. So Pope Francis, they're not trying to venerate your hand or your ring. They're trying to venerate the papacy, the vicar of Christ, and Christ himself. Once I shook a priest's hand and kissed it as is custom, and he made a little bit of a disparaging remark towards me, made me feel kind of uncomfortable. And so I just wanted to clarify. I said, "Well, you know, Father, I'm not doing it for you personally." And he kind of got it. And I almost wanted to say, "Don't flatter yourself," but I didn't. The Holy Spirit kept my tongue from saying it. So this is a custom. It goes way back, and it especially relates on the episcopal level, that is with bishops and above, not only with their hand, which is priestly, but also with the ring. We look in the Racolta, which is the traditional manual for indulgences, and we see that kissing the ring of the Pope grants an indulgence of 300 days. These are not days off in purgatory. These are 300 days of penance in the early church. This is how indulgences used to be rendered. And then for a cardinal, it is 100 days for kissing a cardinal's ring. And for a patriarch, archbishop, or bishop, it is a 50 days indulgence. The church attached these indulgences to kissing of the pope, the cardinal, and the bishop's ring. Why? To inspire piety towards the episcopate, which is really inspiring piety and devotion to the apostolic succession that we have in the Catholic Church, which is devotion to the apostles who represent and go forth into the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Unfortunately, these indulgences, 300 days for the pope's ring, 100 for a cardinal, and 50 for a bishop, were abolished in 1967, thanks to Pope Paul VI, who really just radically changed the entire system of indulgences that had been in place for a millennium, centuries for sure. So unfortunately, that's no longer the case. I would encourage you, however, to get a copy of the Recolta. I have a copy right here. It has everything in it. This is the 1957 edition. I'd encourage you to get a copy of it, especially if you like traditional prayers. This has, it's really a prayer book of all the traditional prayers. And you can see every single prayer in here is denoted by an indulgence of so many days, quarantines, or years. A quarantine is 40 days. So, for example, traditionally at the Mass, when the priest elevates the body of Christ, you would say silently, "My Lord and my God," and you would get, according to the Recolta, 7 years and seven quarantines. So it would be an indulgence worth doing penance for 7 years and seven Lents, roughly. That's what's going on there. So I'd encourage you to get that. Also, there's a web page or a post on my site, taylormarshall.com. I call it Dr. Taylor Marshall's Happy Meal. It's a combo meal of all the traditional books that you need as a traditional Catholic. Missals, prayer books, catechisms, everything in one stop. I've gathered it all together, and it's just a combo meal, and it makes you happy. So I just kind of just refer to it as the Happy Meal. Just search Taylor Marshall Happy Meal, and I make a list there of, you know, the Catechism of the Council of Trent, the Douay Rheims Bible, the Recolta, my three top missals for attending the traditional Latin Mass, which Bibles are good, which catechisms are good for kids, hint, hint, Baltimore Catechism. It's all there. So if you're a traditional Catholic and you like the ways of our ancient forebears, just Google Taylor Marshall Happy Meal. I don't get any money off of it. It's just a list of books that I recommend. And the Recolta, and the link there, which is this book, has it. You can look in there and you'll see 300 days for kissing the Pope's ring. I think this is really unfortunate because it shows a continued downward cycle in the pontificate of Pope Francis against everything ceremonial and against things related to the papal ceremonial. Everything from him not living in the papal apartments, but living in the Hotel Santa Marta, from not wearing the Mozzetta when he came out, when he was first elected. You'll also see when he meets with representatives of other world religions. Previously, the Pope would sit on a throne that was elevated on a platform. Now he just sits on a normal conference chair on the floor, equal with all the other religious representatives. So all of these things are troubling because we Catholics are a sacramental people, right? We believe that, you know, obviously sitting on a chair is not a sacrament or a sacramental, but signs signify realities. Everything from wearing the papal white cassock to bishops and popes wearing the zucchetto to the papal ring, all of these things communicate spiritual realities. And when you begin to ditch them and throw them out, it has a negative effect on people's faith, especially when they are trying to revere the ring of St. Peter. You know, people have been, you know, showing this on social media and then throwing up other images. For example, here's one of a, you know, I guess this is a gymnast on stage. He's allowed to kiss the Pope's ring. Here's another image. This is the Pope kissing the hand of a Jewish rabbi, it seems, in a synagogue. And he's allowing it. So why is the Pope allowing himself to have his ring kissed by this guy and kissing the hand of this Jewish guy, but these pious people who have traveled to Loreto to see the Pope are violently, rigorously denied kissing the ring of St. Peter. It's troublesome. I'm going to close with just a little bit of a history lesson here on the history of papal rings and bishop rings. The first we hear about them comes from a decree of a pope. This is Pope Boniface IV. He's around the year 610. He's after Gregory the Great. And he describes how when monks are raised to become bishops, they receive a ring. And we also see in the Fourth Council of Toledo, which was at 633, so just in the same time period, that when a man becomes a bishop, he receives a stole, a ring, and a crozier. So we see that still to this day. St. Isidore of Seville, he's also in the same period. He's out in what we know as Spain. He refers to the ring as an emblem of the pontifical dignity or of the sealing of secrets. And this reminds us that rings often had images on them, coat of arms, signs, and they would be used to seal important documents, particularly the correspondence of the bishop and of the pope showing, hey, this is a valid document. It has the sign of the signet ring. It's also used as a sign of marriage, that the bishop was married to his diocese, and that if he were to leave his diocese, he would be a spiritual adulterer. This goes back to the Council of Nicaea, which teaches that bishops should not be transferred from one diocese to another, as we see in the contemporary Catholic Church, which is somewhat of an abuse. St. John Fisher was offered to transfer out of his see several times, but he insisted that he remain with the wife of his youth, that is, his diocese. Now, the rings themselves were often worn over the pontifical gloves that were worn by bishops. So they had to be made a little bit bigger than his natural finger, and they would go over the glove. And sometimes there would be a second ring that would actually hold that first ring in place so it wouldn't go flying off when he gave a blessing or when he moved his hand or dropped his hands downward. Now, the Pope's ring is especially important because it signifies not merely that he's a bishop, but that he is the successor of St. Peter. And when a pope dies, his ring is pulverized. It's crushed so that no one can use that ring in a last-minute attempt to issue a document in the name or in the legacy of that pope who has just died. So it is destroyed. There is the ring of the fisherman, which is used ceremoniously. Apparently, Pius XII, when he was coronated and crowned as pope, he did not wear it as much publicly. Pope Benedict XVI wore it all the time, and it depicts St. Peter as the fisherman, and this harkens back to the command of Jesus that the apostles, and Peter especially, should be fishers of men, that they should be evangelists. And so, you know, it's quite suitable, it's quite normal that people would want to venerate the ring of the pope. It's a sign of his office. It's not a personal effect. It's not like, you know, I have a really interesting ring or a college ring or someone has a high school ring and you want to randomly come up and kiss that. This ring is a sign of his apostolic authority. Someone on Twitter said, well, it's his ring. He can tell people who can and cannot kiss it. And actually, I object to that. It's not the Pope's ring. That ring, the office, does not belong to him. He serves in it. It's not like, you know, the president or a king can say, this is my kingship. No, one day you will die and it will go to someone else. You are merely filling the shoes. You are the vicar of Christ, and a vicar stands in for Christ. And one day you will be replaced. And in the meantime, what stays in continuity are the signs of the office. And one of those important signs is the ring. So, you know, I'm sorry to those people who had to go through that embarrassing experience. I've gone through it myself with a cardinal. I imagine, you know, being denied to kiss the ring in kind of that embarrassing way. I'm sure being denied kissing the ring in that situation is uncomfortable, especially since you're on camera and the Pope is doing it not like in a subtle way, but in a very jolted way. And again, this just comes back to a degradation of the Petrine ministry, which is very sad to see. So Let us redouble our penances. Let us pray the rosary for the Pope. Let us fast for the Pope. We must pray for the Pope, and we must pray for a full restoration of the beauty and the glories of Catholic Christianity. Hey, thanks so much for watching. Please like this video. Please subscribe to this channel and get more. Try to put videos out every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Until next time, God bless.